At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
It's been a whole week. Welcome back to the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank R. Curry.
And the vacation cast failed.
It did.
So,
unfortunately.
Yes, and... We tried.
So we ended up just enjoying our vacation.
Yeah, we just ended up being on vacation instead.
Yeah.
But it's not out of a lack of trying. We took Frank's fancy little microphone with us and the laptop, but things just weren't meant to be there.
It just was. So what happened was I brought my microphone out. I have a nice blue snowball microphone. Hooked it up to my laptop. Opened up Audacity. We started recording for about 5 minutes, and then the recording just stopped.
Yeah.
It stopped working. Audacity was, like, freezing up. And
yeah, the software was freezing. We couldn't get things going.
Yeah.
And we were probably looking... We were aiming for only 15 minutes anyway. And
yeah, we're not aiming for that long.
Yeah, we weren't aiming for long. We were on vacation. but the vacation cast failed.
Yeah. More like the technology failed the vacation cast.
True. The technology failed the vacation cast. So never again will I pitch the idea of going and doing a podcast while on vacation. Not because it failed, but because
sometimes
we
kind of
dilly dallied our way to doing it too.
That too.
We were just like, should we do it now? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Now I guess now is the best time to do it. So, but then one day later, I was back in Buffalo. Oh my God, and I'm still feeling it. I was back in Buffalo to do the 11-day power play, and man, it was. I think it was as fun as I thought it would be, I guess is the best way to describe
it. Well, talk about it then.
It was an absolute blast. I mean, it was intense. It was 4 hours of freaking hockey, and... For the most part, strangely enough, though, our game, there was not a lot of coasting going on. And I think it was because our competitors, the team that we were facing, I think they were hell-bent on getting some goals. And it's hard to do that when you're shooting on an OHL draftee in Owen Parker. Owen and PJ Fleck, the other goaltender we had, they were fantastic. And it was the lowest scoring game in the 11-day power play community shift.
Was it really? Like, in terms of total goals?
Total goals.
What was the final score? I think I saw the final score.
It was 15-10.
So 25 goals in 4 hours.
25 goals in 4 hours. We allowed 10 goals in 4 hours.
Yeah.
Which is bonkers.
So most of the other games had scores of, like, what, 20 to 15?
Let me get the page up.
In that range?
I can get the page up. Our opponent was not the lowest scoring team out there.
Okay.
With their 10 goals. There was someone that they lost 40-6.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
That's pretty bad.
But There was another game with that same score though of 15-10. That was back on the second day though. After that though, there are goals aplenty where you just scroll down the list. There was a 56-51 game.
Wow.
That is goals aplenty.
Yeah.
So no, it was a blast though. We had a lot of fun doing it. And again, it was just one of those things where it was a blast. I couldn't have asked for a better experience because, well, for one thing, it will be easily the largest crowd I will ever have played hockey in front of.
How was the crowd?
It was a pretty good turnout. It was also a solid time slot of 2 to 6 p.m.
Yeah.
So that definitely helps. I don't know the effects of how a crowd would be on the overnights. Probably similar to what a bar hockey league game would get.
Just maybe a few more. People, you know.
Maybe more.
You get the crazies or be like, yeah, I'm going to show up at night, or get the ones and be like, you know what, you got to support. These are the real troopers for the 11 yes. power play doing the overnight ones, so you're going to go there and support them.
Exactly.
I know last year, Joe Beamer for BEN, he went a couple times overnight.
Yeah.
Because he went, and then he had to come into work later at 5 a.m., so that's just what
he's
did.
He's like, you know what, I'll go watch
I'm up right
guys.
Now. Yeah. I'm going to go there, go support the guys that were there who are playing hockey right now, and then just go into work.
Exactly. So, again, it was a blast, and it was fun. And, you know, I think that's all I'll say about it is the fact that would I do it again? Absolutely. Good news. It's back in a very similar format next year. Already confirmed.
Well, that's good.
So you better bet I'm going back. And I think I might try to do it twice.
Twice?
Twice.
Why?
One here for Team GR. And then another with some buds. Why not?
Fair, why not?
Would be the answer there. Because, I mean, I love to play hockey. It's a great way to work out for me. I've always seen running as a punishment, so I don't go running. I play hockey. That's how I do it. I play hockey several times a week. That's how I try to stay in shape. And then it's also for a great cause.
Yeah.
Everyone knows someone who's been affected by cancer. So I haven't gotten the final totals in front of me here for how much has been raised, but I do know that they passed last year's $1.2 million, which makes it all the more incredible what they've been able to do to get everything here. Just
do we know what the
$1,247,616.
So they just beat it.
Beat it from last year.
So now, okay. So yeah, now they got a new goal for next year now.
Yes.
Well, it's a beat this year and have it keep going up.
Exactly. I think the goal next year should be $1.2 million and go from there. And it supports cancer research and wellness programs at Roswell Park. It supports Make-A-Wish Western New York and Camp Good Days. So it's not just for cancer research. It's not just, you know, for the science behind everything. It's for the families that are affected by cancer as well. And, you know, supporting those families. So it's been a fantastic and at times a hilarious shift. Probably my biggest memory from the shift, though, was going to be Bulldog. There was a puck along the boards.
Who wore the captain?
Yes, Bulldog had the C.
Because
Alan Davis was out of commission on IR.
He still couldn't play, yeah.
He had a groin injury. He couldn't make it back in time. And Alan passed the C to Bulldog. But there was a puck along the boards, and you just hear, Bulldog screaming like a maniac just to try to intimidate and force the puck up the boards. I thought that was the most hilarious thing. Because, dude, you're looking at a guy who's 6'6"? 6'7"?
Yeah.
big dude skating at you screaming like that? You're chipping it up and getting out of there, man.
You're probably screaming too.
What if he can't slow down?
Yeah.
It just turns into a whole big bucket of "you're bleeped." That's what it is.
Wow.
So, no, that would just be terrifying.
It's very terrifying.
So yeah, it was a very it was a very useful tactic there that he employed.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a blast, and I'm ready to do that again next year. So all the more reason to keep up the fight in probably the best way that I would know possible. I'm not a very sentimental person, as you've come to learn. I may or may not kind of be a jackass. So why not, in the best way that I would know, in a style that would remain true to myself, be able to raise funds for cancer.
Yeah.
For cancer research, I should say. Not for cancer itself. That can go to hell. So yeah, it was stupid fun. And I do get to humble brag about scoring the most goals for Team GR. So there's that too.
You did. You told me you scored 3 goals.
Yes, I got the
trick.
That
was the most.
I got the trick on, and that was the most on Team GR. We had some guys though that can dish. So
yeah, there are some. Yeah.
So a shout out for the non GR personalities that were on this team though, to to all those guys. Absolutely was. Like I said, it was a blast, and I'm gonna get all the names up there for it because you know they all deserve their proper
credit. I
want to
see the stat line everyone.
It was they only tracked the goals, but I have the stats in front of me. But again, to Mark Fleetwood, Fleets was awesome. Fleets actually dragged us back in that game. We were winning 4-0, then next you know we're down 5-4, and Fleets with 2 quick ones. And the next, you know, we're back in the lead, and we never looked back. So,
right.
Dan Gradwell, Dan actually took a hit to the head in a high speed collision.
Ooh,
against the boards. So obviously, I'm hoping Dan's okay. He seemed like he was okay. He skated it off pretty much relatively quickly there. PJ Bluff, he was one of the goalies along with Owen. And I mean, Owen's not a personality. But, oh my God, the two of those guys were amazing, stopping everything that they could. Kevin Kearns, Kevin was awesome. Kevin's like that. Kevin's that glue player, inspirational guy.
Mm-hmm.
He really is. And he's actually pretty good with the puck, too. He stuck his neck out there on the blue line for us so that benders like me wouldn't have to play it. So I appreciate you, Kev. And then Brian Mazurowski from BEN.
Yep.
Brian scored a couple.
Oh.
Yeah, Brian got a couple. And then Brendan Wanger. Son of Tim Wanger, the program director with WBEN.
Yep.
The poor kid was so snake-bitten all game. He couldn't buy a goal. He was getting so frustrated at some point, and then right in the last minute, he gets a goal.
Nice.
To make it 15-10.
Nice.
And that was it. So, and then, of course, the guys from GR. I mean, I still include Ryan at GR. He was with me with Sports Talk Saturday yesterday. So there's Ryan, there's Bulldog, Brayton, TJ, Jafari, Joe. And then even you helping out with the practices too,
yeah.
Frank. So it was all a great process. It was all a blast. And another shout out to Bill Chef Lucas as well, because Bill was the guy who helped coordinate ice time for us to get trained for this.
He was the guy who coordinated all the practices.
He coordinated our practice dates along with Alan.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to play against those guys. Against his team. And I knew a couple of the guys that were there with them with those practices. Justin Ehrig from the 716 podcast. Justin was one of the original 40 from last year.
Oh, okay.
And he was there for them this time around. Nick Mendola, he couldn't play in the game itself. But, you know, it was nice to skate with him in those practices. So it was a great time to see him and, you know, and talking, shoot the stuff with him after a practice or two. So thanks to all of those guys for helping out and, of course, hanging out, playing hockey, doing the thing, you know, playing the hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you to all of you guys for watching me have my knee bend like a pretzel. Appreciate it. But my roster number on the site, number 9. I did not let Jack Eichel down.
No, you didn't.
According to the stat line, I did not let him down.
No.
If you actually saw me skate, I would have been an embarrassment to have that number on my helmet. How dare I?
Yeah.
But enough about that. It was a blast. I'm doing it again next year.
I'll do it with you next year.
I'm doing
year.
It twice next okay. year. I don't care.
I don't know about twice next year.
I'm doing it twice.
I might do it once.
It was so much fun, I have to do it twice.
I don't think I'll be... here's the thing. Next year for me, I'll do it with you if we get a team.
If our boss, but Alan Davis, could do it for 11 straight days, twice a day, I could do it twice.
Yeah, we could probably do it twice.
I mean, you're playing goals, so that'd be a little different. Tough. At the very least, I would try to make sure that you had a second goalie, kind of like how we employed two goalies for Team GR.
Yeah.
So that you'd have a break, too. You'd be able to change off with us.
Yeah.
Because skaters, you get to go to the bench and breathe.
You get to breathe, you know.
Goalies? No.
No.
And that's what I saw the struggles with you when we had that trial
it
run.
It was really only during the second hour.
Yeah.
Because, well, no, what happened was with that... I started getting some stomach cramps. I don't know
bad
why.
Bad sushi?
No, I don't eat. I don't even eat sushi.
I'm just giving a stupid joke here, Frank. Let the stupid joke be a stupid
don't
joke.
Eat sushi, okay?
Don't get all analytical on a joke.
No. I started getting some stomach cramps. I tried drinking water. It wasn't helping. So I had to suffer. I had to suffer through it. And it was just making it really hard for me to move. So yeah, I was barely moving during that second hour, but. Once that second hour passed and we went into the locker room while the ice got resurfaced, had some more water, got a breather, started wiping sweat off my face, I felt a lot. Once I got back in the ice, I felt a lot better. You saw, you know, those last 2 hours.
Well, I wasn't was there a lot, for the last well, 2 hours.
Yeah, you weren't there, but I was hurt. A lot. Yeah, that's right. You got hurt. But I felt a lot better. And I felt really good, and I was able to, and I played really well.
Yeah, so. Again, we could figure that out. I could find a way to play twice there.
Yeah.
All right. So, enough about that. We will.
It's great that it was a rousing success again.
Yes.
And that you had a great time as well.
Exactly. So, I'll take that every time. So, Frank, the Sabres, they have a couple of small signings, not too much.
Nothing too big since the last podcast.
And nothing too much that we have to really dive into here. A couple of RFAs brought back into the fold with Baptiste, Bailey, O'Regan, and Sean Malone.
Yep, and also Rasmus Dahlin signed his entry level last week as well.
Yeah, so all things that were expected to be happening happened.
Yes.
Sam Reinhart still not signed.
I think he's the last guy.
I think CJ Smith signed one?
Nope, CJ Smith as well. That's right. Yep.
All right. But Sam Reinhart's the big
Reinhart
piece.
And Smith are the last two that have to be signed. Malone, Baptiste, O'Regan, Bailey all signed 1-year contracts. Really nothing too big. They're not making more than, O'Regan's making, has the most with a little more than $870,000.
Yeah.
So there's really nothing too special about it. One-year
contracts.
I'd imagine CJ Smith is probably going to get the same thing.
Yeah. Might get two.
Maybe get 2 years. We'll see.
How well he's actually been able to impress. But Sam Reinhart's the last one.
Yep.
And do you think it's more or less they're just trying to figure out the term? And it's tricky with a guy like Sam Reinhart because his production would state something along the lines of being able to command at least $5 million per season contract.
Especially based on what other players have gotten.
Exactly.
You could argue that, yeah, Reinhart is probably asking for something similar.
Now, remember how
a lot of everyone is also thinking, well, he should get a bridge deal, but at the same time, there's a trend starting to see younger players get longer term contracts
exactly
right after their entry level deals. So the idea of bridge contracts, to me, that to me says that they're starting to go away. Players don't want to do that anymore. They just want their long-term deal right away, especially when they're really, especially when they have really good years right out the start.
Yep.
And that's what we're, I think that's the route that Reinhart wants to go. He hasn't had really good years, but he's had good years. His three seasons so far as a Sabre have been good.
And then you have to think about just how poorly his start of last season was.
Yeah.
To end up with 50 points in all 82 games. But the guy is fairly consistent here. 42, 47, 50. So the point production is slowly increasing.
And, he's a 20-goal scorer.
Yeah, a two-time 20-goal scorer now.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, and every GM knows that this is the style that you have to negotiate it with, are you paying for what he's done or what you think he's going to be? And how much of the lean is it for each? Obviously, you don't want to get into a business of paying for past performances. But if that's the case, that's really not much of a problem here, because I don't know if Sam Reinhart's going to get much better than what he is.
He might.
He might.
He surely seems like he can.
But I think he is what he is, a guy who's going to give you secondary scoring, but very consistent secondary scoring. A guy who can get to maybe 60 points, but that's kind of the limit. If I see a step up from Sam Reinhart, it would be that. And I wouldn't suspect that it would be much more than that. And that's where the negotiation probably is a little tricky.
Mm, that's very true. But I think if Botro believes that Reinhart is a key part of this future and believes that he can be better than what he was last year, in terms of like if half of his second half production goes into the first half, you're talking about a 60-point player, yeah. A 65-point player. If he believes that, if that's all it takes for Reinhart to reach his potential, I don't see why you wouldn't try to sign him to a long-term deal.
Yeah.
I don't see why you wouldn't at least sign him to a 5 or 6 year deal and give him $5 million a year.
Yeah, I could see that. And again,
but if
you look at Kyle Oposto, though, Oposto's making $7 million a season right now. And if you look at the kind of production he's had throughout his entire career, the man eclipsed 60 points once.
Mm-hmm.
With a 69-point season in 2013-2014 in 71 games. That was almost a point a game that season. But as we've known and as we've learned, twice. He also did it in
his last year with the Islanders.
Last year with the Islanders. But again, this point that I'm coming into is John Tavares can kind of have that effect on people.
Yeah. But you can also look at 13-14 and for Oposo and say he can be a great player without Tavares, because Tavares was out half that year because of the Olympics.
Yep.
And Oposo was the guy, and he was still scoring goals.
Yeah. So, again, Oposo, I would like to see healthy to be able to
really
be able to help things out and try to live up to that contract. But the fact of the matter is this, with the Reinhart negotiation, 45 and 44 points is getting $7 million per season. Yeah, that's on the open market, but still, you look at that and go, maybe six isn't that much of a stretch for Reinhart.
I think ultimately, if I had to predict Reinhart's contract, his next contract, I would say it's probably going to be a 5-5 thing. Right. 5 years, $5 million a year.
Right.
That's what I would predict. You know, you look at contracts like that, $5 million, $6 million, and you think that's a lot of money for a guy who hasn't done much. And you got, but when you look at the reality of it, these contracts are going up for a reason.
Yeah.
Players are getting more.
The cap's going up.
With the cap going up, with what other players having gotten, Eichel's making $10 million now. Tavares just got $11 million from Toronto.
Yep.
You've got guys like Kopitar, who's making $10 million. Doughty's got making $11 million now. Taves and Kane with 10.5.
Who knows what Erik Karlsson's gonna get?
Who knows what Carlson's gonna get? Who knows what Matthews and Marner are gonna get next year? Nylander's gonna have an effect on Reinhardt as well. So, money, this is a trend that's gonna continue to go up,
right?
And if you can take advantage of it now and get Reinhardt at a decent, at what will be looked at as a high cap hit now, but a couple years down the line, that's going to be looked at as a bargain.
Right.
And I thought the same thing with the O'Reilly contract. 7.5 was looked at as superstar. Like 5 years ago, if you gave a guy $7.5 million a year, he was your best player.
Exactly.
Your best player was making that much. Now you can give $7.5 million to a guy who's probably playing, helping out, being like a secondary scorer.
Yeah.
Or a number two defenseman. Because that's what happens when you have more to spend. And as long as there's more money to spend, it's going to get spent. So I do think that a $5 million contract for Reinhardt, heck, even $6 million, really makes sense in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't think he's earned it, right. You got to think. Well, he's still really young. How old is Reinhardt? 21, 22 now?
22 now, yeah.
Yeah. So there's still room to grow with him. He turns 23 in November. A lot of room to grow.
Yeah.
He hit his career high so far in his career. He's gotten better each year. You can look at that first half, but he's gotten better each year. 42 to 47 to 50.
Exactly. You can look
at that. He scored 25 goals on the worst scoring team in hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And he's consistently playing with the team's best player in Eichel. And now you add Dahlin to the mix.
Exactly. So...
So you gotta think that if Reinhardt can put the tools together in a consistent way, it doesn't have to be fully consistent. You're gonna have slumps here and there, but if you can put it together for a full 82 games, who's to say Reinhardt can't be a 60 to 70 point player in the league?
Exactly.
And that and if you sign him to that $5 to $6 million contract now, that makes it look like a bargain. It'll look like a bargain later on if Reinhardt puts it together these next couple years.
Right.
And it makes way more sense to do that than to sign him to a 2-year bridge deal and give him like $4 million a year and then watch him score 60 to 70 points the next 2 years and he's going to command what Eichel, similar to what Eichel got.
Exactly.
I'd rather have to try to do that 5 years from now than have to do it two.
Mm-hmm.
Because 5 years from now, the cap's going to be higher than what it will be 2 years from now. So there's going to be more money available to spend. And who knows where the team will be in 5 years.
Yeah.
Because more likely 5 years from now, Kyle Poulsen's not going to be here.
Right.
And that you can easily just say, well, part of that money is going to go into Reinhardt's third contract.
Exactly. Yeah, there's plenty of ways to look at it. And one of the biggest ways to... Of course, if you're Sam Reinhardt's agent, your job is to try to go and strive to get to that $6 or $7 million per season.
Oh, of course.
Because you can, again, look at your own team and say, this guy's making $7 million per season, and I've got a client here who's been outproducing him on average these past 2 years on this team. So where's our money? You can look at a lot of ways to say it, but slow and steady wins the race. This negotiation is going to take time. Reinhardt's contract's probably not going to come around for a little bit.
Probably. I wouldn't be shocked if it came around closer to training camp.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Exactly. All right, Frank. For the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
We really get to dive into football.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me, football.
Football.
Yes.
That football.
Yes, that happened first.
Yeah.
The World Cup. France takes it home.
They win.
First time since 98?
Yes.
And
when they won it in their own backyard.
Yes, when they won it in their own country, in their own backyard. They win it for the first time in foreign soil, and they beat Croatia 4-2.
Yep.
4-2.
Yeah, high-scoring game.
Yeah.
High-scoring game for soccer.
And
for football.
But a lot of people thought that, you know, at the end of the day, France was going to win if it was, you know, that match between them and Croatia. Are they a plucky underdog?
Croatia?
Yeah. Because I think that they are. It's just necessarily that.
I think they are, in a way, based on, it may be based on how they got there.
Yeah, it's more or less, though, they've been showing up lately.
But they are, but at the end of the day, they're still a really good team no matter what. Because I don't think they're considered, they would be considered the plucky underdog like Russia was. I think Russia is more the plucky underdog than Croatia. But
Croatia
also
does have two players playing in the highest leagues, in one of the highest caliber leagues in the world, with Rakitic and Modric.
I believe so, yes.
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 So, again, I think,
But it's even still, Croatia is still a really good team, and I think it was just based on who their matchups, where they probably weren't looked at as a contender. So you could argue that they would be a plucky underdog, but I think they are still a really good team no matter what, and they
and honestly
should be in the talks.
If they had two of the players playing in one of the best leagues, you know, I think one of them plays for Barcelona, the other plays for Real Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, Rakitic and Modric, they are two of the better players that could be assembled on the same team. They beat England, a team that has kind of really been gelling now and is probably going to be a big threat for the next World Cup.
Yeah.
Germany got knocked out in the knockout stage.
Yeah.
I mean, before the knockout stage. They didn't make it out of group play.
You had Argentina, who was knocked out early. Portugal was knocked out early. Spain was knocked out early.
And they have the three best players probably in the world.
Brazil, I think, was out in the quarters.
Yes. But all of them had the likes of Messi, Ronaldo, and Neymar.
Yeah.
And they didn't make it into the semifinals.
Yeah.
None of them. It just made for a pretty inspiring World Cup. I was cheering for Sweden, dude. I was all about them Swedes because they were an underdog.
They're the underdog and B also.
Were the underdog.
Also,
and
I mean,
the last game of the group play, Sweden puts it down on Mexico. Mexico's in danger of getting knocked out.
Yeah.
But then you see South Korea helping upend Germany and send Mexico onto the knockout stage.
Yeah.
I will never forget how much drama that was.
That was fun.
That was amazing to watch.
Yeah.
Then you're seeing the Mexican fans
in
celebration in the stands while their team is losing. Your players are looking on knowing you're not getting out of this hole, but wait, why are they? Oh my God, they're celebrating. That means something's going on.
And then they're probably showing, because they're also showing the scores of the other game. And
well, they weren't showing, I don't think they were showing the scores of the other game, but fans were learning of it. And that's why the celebration was going on.
Yeah, to imagine that at least there was at least one graphic there that was showing at least the other.
But then the players are starting to get the idea of, okay, we're down
then
three.
Word passes along that South Korea is beating Germany, and then they're like, oh!
Exactly. It was amazing to watch.
Yeah.
And then Belgium-Japan was an amazing game.
Yeah, it was really good.
There was so much drama. Hell, the semifinal between England and Croatia needed extra time, and Croatia pulled the win out there.
Yep. England also finally reaching the semis
getting third,
winning a penalty. Well, yeah, but not getting. But I'm saying, like, they won a match in penalty kicks, which they hadn't done in so long. That had been looked at as a curse for them. They're finally getting over that hump. And.
They did have the man with the golden boot, though, with Harry Kane.
Yeah.
So, and then Luka Modric obviously winning the golden ball with Croatia. But, yeah, golden boot. for England. So they're going to be a team to be reckoned with going forward.
Yeah.
Get the U.S. back in there. Good Lord. Can we have a program that doesn't lose to Trinidad and Tobago?
I can't guarantee that.
It'd be nice. It would be nice. That's all I'm saying. Italy didn't make it this year.
Yeah, they're another big country.
So 4 years from now, this could be a pretty interesting tournament. Mm-hmm. The strange thing, though, is that it's going to be played in the wintertime.
That's weird.
There was a reason for that. The summers in Qatar, they're worried about the heat.
Okay.
So they're going to play.
When I saw that, I was like, wait, why?
They're
going to
be playing it between November and December.
Yeah, I know. I knew that. I saw that. I was trying to think of why. And then, okay, the heat yeah. in Qatar in the summer. That actually makes a ton of sense then.
Yeah.
So you're doing it for player safety.
Doing it for player safety.
And fan safety, too.
But now here's my conflict.
At least in that sense.
It's the beginning of hockey season, man. There's going to be snow around here. And when I see snow, dude, I just played hockey for 4 hours in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
I'm worried I'm not going to be nearly as invested into watching the World Cup here next time around.
Just remember, it's 4 years from now, okay?
But it's also 4 years in of Dalene.
I know. That's true, too. I know. That's
true,
too.
So the team actually might be good.
I think if the U.S. is there still... In 4 years,
yeah.
There's gonna be investment, especially from us.
Oh yes,
of course. We're still gonna watch it.
I mean, we're still gonna watch it because we have to.
But also
about sports.
What's the time difference in Qatar to here?
Not as drastic as Russia.
Like, well, how much? Like, do you know how much?
I'm going to look it up for you.
Because I think that's gonna play into it as well.
7 hours.
They are 7 hours ahead?
7 hours ahead.
Okay. So you're probably looking at more of early games.
Earlier games again.
So that means you can absolutely do both. That means you can absolutely in the afternoon if you're not at work or if you are at work, like where we can watch TV while we're here.
It's the similar time zone than with Moscow.
It's similar?
Yes.
Okay, so there you go.
So you're looking at a lot of 9 a.m.
You're looking
11
at a lot of early games.
So yeah, you're looking
so
at
that,
games.
So that I don't think it
no
really...
No conflicts then.
So no conflicts, exactly.
Unless I'm watching a West Coast.
Yeah, unless...
If it's Sabres after dark, I'm not getting up early to watch soccer.
That, or if somehow you got an early Sabres game and a later, in terms of later there,
yeah,
later match there.
Exactly.
Where it would be like noon here.
Right.
But otherwise, there's really not going to be any conflict. So 4 years from now with the U.S. is in it, you can absolutely be invested in the U.S. at the World Cup and then get ready for a Sabres game that night.
Right.
Or get ready for a hockey game that you're going to play in.
Who knows?
Who knows? That's 4 years from now. And then 8 years from now, I think it's here.
Yeah, it is.
To me in Canada, here in Mexico.
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, the U.S. is automatically going to be in that.
Neat.
Hey, we finally get back into the World Cup. It's an automatic bid because we're the host.
Well, at least, I mean, hey, maybe they can put in a performance like Russia did.
You know,
Russia kind of made a little bit of a run for themselves.
Yeah.
So maybe the U.S. can do that. Who knows? But that's also 8 years down the road. We don't need to worry about that.
Yeah.
All right, Frank, from football to football. Bills training camp
nice.
Starts soon. Out at St. John Fisher College. And we're a week and a couple days away. 10 days? 10 days.
10 days away?
10 days away.
10 days away.
If my math is right.
When's the start? The 20th? Because today's the 15th.
Yes. It starts... All right, 11 days. 11 days.
So 26th.
Yes, the 26th, that Thursday. And, dude... All it's going to be about right away is who's the quarterback, though.
Yeah.
You, me, and John Simon talked about this at length last episode we
last
had
week.
A week ago.
Yeah, last week. So to recap that, you came with the question, who do you want to see start week one and who do you expect?
Yes.
We all agreed that we want to see Josh Allen start week one. right? No,
was,
no, you wanted...
I was in for the Nathan Peterman
revenge. You wanted Peterman,
game.
That's right.
We all expect it's AJ McCarron.
But I expect Peterman.
Hmm.
Remember, I said I expect Peterman to.
So, other than that, though, there's plenty of camp battles that are going to be had.
Yeah.
Namely on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Second wide receiver while Zay Jones is nursing his injury. Probably looking at backup running back, see if Chris Ivory makes sure that he can, you know, really run home with it. And you've got the defensive line, defensive ends, defensive tackles. Can Harrison Phillips kind of try to push Lotulelei and Kyle Williams so that there's a healthy rotation there?
Right.
Linebacker depth. You're probably looking at all of that. The things that are locked are the safeties, the cornerbacks, probably your defensive tackles, I would really say, for the most part.
Yeah.
On the defensive side. And then your starting linebackers. D-end is a free-for-all.
It can't, yeah.
With Hughes, Murphy,
Lawson,
Odighizuwa.
Yep.
Everything. Then, on the offensive side, that's where things are really going to get thrown into something. Because we don't know everything about the LeSean McCoy situation. Not going to talk at length about
it. We don't need to talk about it. We're wait for...
I'm a wait for the facts kind of guy.
Yeah.
I obviously... The two things I'm going to say about it are this. Obviously, I hope he didn't do it. If only because there's one less person hitting their wife, girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, anything like that.
Yeah.
I would like one less person like that around in the world. And two, it's really just... Do not crucify. Do not go and defend. Not in the heavy-hearted scale. Not ahead. Like, just don't do it. Because then you have to backpedal. Or then you really just start wasting your time and energy on it. Don't do it. It's not worth it. Wait for the facts first. Then be able to say your piece. That said, if I have to talk about this in a strictly football standpoint, and... the Bills don't have LeSean McCoy at one point or another because players could be involved in these things and not be guilty and still get suspended by Roger Goodell. If it happens, the Bills are losing some games.
Mm-hmm.
They are worse.
Way worse.
Good Lord, keep Josh Allen away from the lineup.
Yeah.
Because one of my problems I had with scouting Allen was he would play hero ball.
Yeah.
Even right now with LeSean McCoy, I'm skeptical of putting Allen in anyway because wide receiver talent may not be good enough to go and keep yourselves getting continued separation to where he is playing hero ball again.
Also,
the offensive line is unproven again.
Yes.
And then you add the third wrench of if LeSean McCoy's not there, the running game is not guaranteed to be a nice little package for you. That turns into if Josh Allen's under center, he's going to play hero ball. He's going to resort to bad things. He's going to resort to not setting his feet, throwing the ball up for grabs. Yeah, having Kelvin Benjamin throwing it up for grabs isn't the worst idea in the world, but I'd rather he not practice those habits until he knows what he's doing.
Right.
And he adjusts to the NFL speed of the game. Frank, I'm getting a little more and more skeptical about what the Bills are actually going to be capable of doing this year. I think their defense will be better.
I do think so.
If only because, well, they the snuck talent. Into the playoffs, but they really were kind of tailing off at the end of last year.
They did.
And their run defense, I think, was 29th in the league.
Yes. But they've made the moves to correct the defense.
Starla Tule will eat up blockers. Tremaine Edmonds, if he is everything that they're raving about right now, will be a stud in the middle.
Yes.
So they've fixed some of this.
And now you add Harrison Phillips to that mix.
To the rotation.
You're going to see what Matt Milano can do as a starter.
Yes.
You got another year of Lorenzo Alexander. Now you're adding Trent Murphy to the defensive end mix as well, along with everybody that
A motivated Shaq Lawson will help.
Yes. And we know what the secondary is already because they proved it last year, and now you take out a guy who had been in and out the lineup in EJ Gaines, and you add in a guy who's trying to prove himself in Vontae Davis.
Exactly.
And then with everyone you drafted as well, and Saran Neal and Taron Johnson, and they brought in a Raphael Bush to that mix as well.
Yep.
So and obviously with Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer in the middle, and year two of Tre'Davious White. Mm-hmm. So I think the expectations for the Bills right now is that the defense is going to be better overall. But I think the overall team is going to be worse.
Yeah. I mean, the offense really can be.
This offense is, no matter who's the quarterback, really, it's going to be pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's going to be, even with LeSean McCoy. It's going to be pretty bad. As you said, we have there's unproven receivers. Benjamin's your number one. Zay Jones, when he's healthy, will be the number two, but that's when he's healthy. And we don't know what's going to be after that. And then you have the unproven offensive line. I want to see what Wyatt Teller can do.
Yeah.
We got to see what Deion Dawkins can do as a starter.
Well, I mean, we saw it last year.
We saw it, but I want to see more of it.
Yeah, you need to see it not just a game-to-game basis. Now you need a season-to-season basis.
Yes.
Like how Cody Glenn wowed out the gate.
Yep.
Then he took a little bit of a step back under Doug Marrone, but then he got that step back.
Yeah.
And then the injury to end his tenure in the first year with Sean McDermott, it was unfortunate. But you can see why, though, that he was the talent that he was. Now we're going to see why the Bills traded up to get Deion Dawkins in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Trade back into the second round to get him. I need season to season now. He passed the game to game as a rookie.
Yes.
He looked more than serviceable. Now let's see from serviceable to good.
Yeah.
Or even better than good.
As a
left tackle in the NFL.
Yeah.
That's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
To be thrown into the fire like that as a rookie when you were expected to be probably taking the right side for Jordan Mills. Next thing you know, he had to go there.
Yeah.
And he looked comfortable, though. So let's see what he does now next season with what might be a bit of a tougher schedule. I think that the Bills have some things going for them. Offensively, there's a lot of question marks. Defensively, I think those questions have really been solved on paper.
Now it just needs to be solved on the field.
There's one question left, and that's, can Matt Milano do this over the course of a season?
Mm-hmm. It's very similar to Deion Dawkins.
Yes. Whereas with Deion Dawkins, I saw a second-round pick. Like, I got a little more expectations for him. Matt Milano started playing very well in his limited time.
Yeah.
While Ramon Humber was the starter. So now we need to see what Milano can do with all the snaps. That's the next step for him. If we found a nice little gem, that's great. And we can figure that out from there. I know I'm going to have to, I've got to go out to Rochester, though, because my idea is I want to chart the quarterbacks. See how they're throwing practice by practice and see what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try to make it out to Rochester a couple times here. And, I mean, there's a lot of morning practices, so I could probably swing it. Go out to Roch in the morning, come back, do the updates, help out with the nightcap, and then go do it again. It's not impossible.
No, it's not.
So we'll see what happens there, yeah. Of course. But thank you, as usual, for listening to the Leftovers podcast. I'm Derek Kramer.
I'm Frank R. Curry.
And it's Bills training camp is 11 days away.
Yeah.
We just finished. Today's the last day of the 11-day power play. So 11's kind of the number here today. And I think that's the best way to end it. By the way, if you were one of the top three fundraising teams for that 11-day power play, I'm watching the video of it right now. You end up getting to play against Sabres alumni, Buttes players, and some players from the NHL.
Oh, really?
Including Stanley Cup finalist Alex Tuch.
He's there too?
He's there.
What?
Yes.
That's awesome.
So, if that's me, there's pants crapping terror.
If he
only puts 50% into his shots.
I can only imagine the goalie.
I'm just diving. Oh, my God. I mean, I know that they're not, like, listen, they're not really trying.
I know
out
that they're, you would be messing your pants if you were out there too. But whoever's in goal has to go up against that the whole time.
Messing your pants.
You're messing. I don't want to say
that's,
anything.
No, that's great. I love the term there. Yeah.
I can only imagine what the goalie's thinking.
Because the only reason I noticed it...
Because the goalie's got to be out there the whole time, man.
I saw it. It's only an hour per team, though.
Yeah, okay.
So those guys are skating for 3 hours.
But still.
Yeah, it's kind of incredible.
Do they have the full roster of who they're going up against the top three?
I don't have the roster in front of me.
All right.
But I know that Andrew Peters, Marty Baron, Pat Coletta, Alex Tuck are among those.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredible to be able to watch this. To be able to play against them, oh my God.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah.
Then there's the Buttes players, and they've only won the Isabel Cup. So it's not like they're to be underrated here.
Mm-hmm.
They're not players to be trifled with either. You know, they can dance around you like there's no business.
Mm-hmm.
Especially pylons like me. So it's got to be fun though to be able to go out there with those guys and just and skate. So yeah, that was me getting distracted as we were closing up.
So how long is this part going on till?
Until 6 o'clock, then it's done.
Oh, so they're just ending.
Yep. They're just ending it.
Okay.
Closing ceremonies will be there and everything like that. So
okay.
I will take the time to thank Mike and Amy Lezikowski for setting everything up for the 11-day power play for the second year in a row now and for being able to have it ready to go for next year. Already having that kind of stuff in the works. So thank you. And thank you for bringing the fight to cancer. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
All right, Frank, you got any closing thoughts?
I'm very happy with how the 11-day power play went, obviously.
Oh, and Mike Pekka's there. I just saw the name on the jersey.
Mike Pekka's there. Of course he is. I want to do it next year. I wish I was able to do it this year, but I'm definitely going to do it next year with you, of course. Come on. I'm very excited to see what the future holds for the event itself.
Yes. And the city of Buffalo for always coming
out. Of course.
And showing up.
Yep.
So that's the other thing.
And
I wouldn't have looked like a jackass if not for the people showing up.
that's true too. That's true too. That's really all I can think of right now.
All right.
I just love everything that's been going on with the 11-day power play.
For sure. Thank you, as always, for listening to Leftovers Podcast here on WGR550.com. I'm Derek Kramer.
I'm Frank R. Curry.
And as they always say, always do a dance and act a fool when you do the good things.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney Refreshing!
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.